Welcome to the TSL Podcast! With your hosts,
Joe K,
Doreen, and of course,
Yokas.
It would have been funny if that's how I recorded, but this is how I start. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the TSL Podcast. I am your host, Joe K. I am joined, of course, by Doreen, who is here. And then Tino's not here. I'm sorry. It's not my fault. We tried our best. That's to all the Tino fans out there, which is pretty much most of the people who listen. Joining us today is a podcast regular who claimed to me, on Saturday, he's like, well, I am overdue for my season... You know, joining the podcast. Usually get one episode in. Corey Reed is here. Hello, Corey. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good.
That's what I like to hear. So,
yeah, it's a kind of dreary day here.
I know.
It's cool. This is a cold for Dorian's garage. I'm used to this being like a warm,
sweltering environment. Yeah, brutal, but it's not too bad right now. But hey, like I told you, I'd rather have today be shitty because Saturday was a pretty good day for playoff football, like weather wise. Maybe not so much for people showing up or for refereeing or for people being nice to each other or for all the other things we'll eventually get into, but games were had, upsets were happening, a lot of cool shit actually went down. But I hear that Garrett sent Doreen a very special emergency message to lead off the show. Special report.
Yeah, I wanted to jump into it right away because I know we lose people if it goes too long, and we are going to try to wrap this up quick, even though I feel spicy today and some shit might be said. We were talking about reffing, and for the following season, we would love to see if any people from the league have any friends or relatives that you all can vouch for that would like to ref next session. Please let any of us know, especially Garrett. Basically, Garrett's going to take the time to train and teach them to ref, even if they've never played in the league before. He's just basically wanting reliable, right? So if they say they're going to be there every week, they're going to be there every week. They're going to give their best effort each week. They're not going to stare at their phones. They'll learn the rule book. Just somebody that you all think would be a great addition. Basically, Garrett has reached out to local ref associations in the past to spread the word. He's also put ads on Craigslist. Neither one of those.
Well, that's a different thing.
Yeah.
Is that like the male finding male?
He said neither one of those efforts have resulted in getting, new experienced professional refs. So he'll try that route again in the off season. But referrals seem to be really the best way to go. So if we can find some people that'll treat it seriously and respect it, train them up, we'd love to have them.
All right, cool. So like I said, a great day was had for football. Except there's a lot of stuff we're going to have to get into with the games themselves, so that's pretty
and
exciting.
I would love, if I may, take 2 minutes to read one part of the rule book that really, I think, needs to be reiterated quickly. It's on page one, and it's in paragraph one, so it's, like, right there. But it's basically, it starts with just talking about how fighting results in immediate suspension, and how foul and rough language could result in suspension. God willing it doesn't.
Could?
Who knows with me. but yeah, he just, in the rule book, it basically says, we want to encourage a fun, competitive atmosphere and have no problem with drawing or trash talking in good sport. But please note, racism, sexism, homophobia, bigotry, and hateful targeted language is completely unacceptable and will be met with the harshest of responses if it is determined that a player has engaged in any sort of behavior along these lines. TSL is welcoming to people and players from all walks of life, and discrimination, bigotry, and hate speech has no place within our league. I'm going to repeat that. Hate speech has no place within our league. Let's jump into the games.
Okay. Honestly, let's just jump right into Breakfast Club.
Yeah, we'll talk more on final thoughts.
There you go.
Everyone's relieved that, we aren't just sitting here babbling for 25 minutes about,
We're going to babble.
What brings you into the league?
Yeah, right. Well, anyway.
Corey, you get to read the scores. You read the, you redo it. Doreen's going through all of her notes. Look at she's deleting shit. I see she's busy.
I'm big. I got if I don't do this and get rid of it, I'll like repeat something, look like an idiot.
No, you're fine. Stop it. What do we got?
All right. So for Breakfast Club, we have Water Under the Bridge at 35, On a Rampage 29, and Fitzmagic 22, Total Carnage 20.
Yeah, the 3 and 4 seeds move on to the Breakfast Club Championship next week. Obviously, we can talk about our game in a second. Fitzmagic 22, Total Carnage 20. There was something that happened where something happened with 2 minutes to go and they didn't go for a two-point conversion to tie it or something crazy where people got mad at Langley and...
What?
I know, right? Alex and Langley, like oil and water. But needless to say, John Langley ends up losing to his usual Breakfast Club lover, Garrett, who moves on. I mean, obviously a good game there. That's what happens. That's how the playoffs roll.
Wait, they weren't on the same team this year?
No.
Didn't even know that.
That's why he's so angry and jilted lover. He left him for Alex, and look where it got him.
I played with Garrett one time in Breakfast Club. Langley was there.
Yeah, their best bud.
Attached at the hip.
I know. But like I said, Water on the Bridge at 35, On a Rampage 29. Corey, I talk about our team every week, so why don't you tell me about how our game went?
I mean, that was a fun game. I mean, so starting off in the first half, it just was a score fest, right? I think first drive, you know, we drove down and we had I had a longer bomb to Charles, which was fun. My God, am I the luckiest man in the world to be able to just throw to Charles? The catch, he made a catch last week that I just
God, thought
about.
God, even makes you look good.
I know, he makes me look good. I'll take it. Charles,
despite your best efforts.
Yeah, Charles is putting me on his back, and Bridget too, obviously, to drag me to a Breakfast Club championship as
acknowledge
a quarterback.
Acknowledge him.
So we opened up the game with that. They marched right down. It was 8-8 after that. Frank was throwing really well against us. Like we weren't getting a great rush on him, which was a little bit of a difficult thing. And then the only drive we didn't score in the day was for me throwing probably the weeniest pass I can really ever throw in Breakfast Club.
Weeniest?
It was such a weenie pass. It was, I'm just going to lay it right over her. We're just going to break wide open. What I did was I was like, that's going right to her. And like the soft pass going right to the girl in the flat.
Cat, who has the bear dog that hangs out, super fluffy bear. And she said it was her first interception ever. So, like, you made somebody's day on top of it.
I'm happy I could do that for somebody. You know, it was a gift wrapped interception. But, you know, they went down and scored.
You're so giving.
I was very giving. The good news is for us, at least, Water Under the Bridge, that was our only non scoring drive in the day. I think we went down and scored one before half, and they were up by, a touchdown, I think, at halftime?
Yeah, because they got a touchdown after the pick, and that's where we realized we need to switch stuff up, because we have Tammy rushing. You know, Ma, the meatloaf, fucking beautiful. But Frank does his, you know, run around for 8 hours thing, and, you know, God bless her, she can't keep up with him, and it's like, well, that's going to be a problem if Frank has 40 minutes to throw, because eventually somebody gets open. And, all right, we switched it up, and we sent Tino after him, and that made a world of difference for that. Frank didn't have time anymore. He started rushing some throws, missing some throws because Tino is all over the place. I wish he was here to talk about it so we could tell him how great he did rushing, but what are you going to do? But go on. Sorry, Corey.
So, I mean, second half, I think, you know, we're just going down score for score. And so from there on out also, I think probably one of the bigger turning points for us on the season is having me not call plays and just having Bridget do all the thinking. It's been wonderful. Bridget's like, you know, person go here, you just throw it there. And it's been great. So it's really taken a load off, like, me mentally, and helped me out a lot. And, like, you know, I think she ended up having 3 of our touchdown passes just in the situations that we had.
Situational.
Situation. Start calling her Mike from Jersey Shore. She's a situation. So we went down and got 3 touchdowns that way. And, you know, I think we drove down. I just remember, I think we had the drive. It was like 4-0, and I had to get a pass in to Jonah, who made a couple big plays at the end of the game. Like, shout out to Jonah. Like, there was one where he was doing like about a 15-20 yard out where there was not a lot of space, you know, to throw and catch that ball. And he snagged it, and he got out of the 5, and then we were able to get a Bridget touchdown. And I was able to totally throw and aim at Jonah. And not Tammy.
I didn't miss her.
Didn't miss her. I was intended to go to Jonah. And, you know, that put us up by what I think we won by 6. So, and then I know the last drive of the game, they were marching down. we stopped them. I think the defense stopped them at about, what, the 25-30, and they had to throw a prayer up to Steve at the end, which I know they weren't happy about that not being called a catch. I was too far to really truly see what happened, but I know it seems like in general that people were saying it wasn't a catch, and Jordan wasn't far from me either. So,
no.
I mean, being a Breakfast Club ref has to be brutal.
I was just going to say, so, I wish that for next session that that they have two refs for playoffs.
They will for the championship game.
Okay.
So like that's the but like they usually
for playoffs.
I think
too.
Playoffs if we can do it.
And right. It's just harder because most of the people who help refing and do and like ref also play in Breakfast Club on top of it, and getting people there at 9 is also a pain in the ass. So you know, that's usually why Jeff like watches really closely. He kind of like assists where he can in terms of that, like because what else can you really do? But yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying though, but it's also.
But there will be two playoffs. For championships.
Yes.
Okay. Absolutely. Well, that's cool.
But yeah, I mean, it was, I mean, a fun game. I don't know what else you can add from your perspective, but I mean, I think that about covers it. And it's been a fun year. This is, you know,
Well, it's always fun when you're winning.
Yeah, when you're winning. I mean, my two favorite Breakfast Club teams of all time are the 2 years have, you know, made it to the championship game.
That's true. So. Well, I disagree, though, because there was the year that I was on, Doreen, I was on your team, and we lost every game by like
by
a point.
By 1 point. Yeah.
By, like on the last play. And that was still a ton of fun, even for being 0-5.
Oh my God, I remember. That was the first year of D's Nuts, wasn't it?
Yeah, yes. It was.
Ricky was your quarterback.
Yep. Yeah. And it was like every time we had a shot at winning or. Whether on offense or defense, and just never the coin never flipped our way. But that was a ton of fun too. But that's how Breakfast Club works. Even when you're losing, you're still like, hey, like I'm playing with Ricky, I'm playing with Doreen. This is super cool, you know. You just
because
have
we were getting beat though too. That's the other thing. It was like we were like so close.
Yes, and obviously for sure, game. For sure. There's definitely a part of it where your team isn't getting murdered every week, and like you have no chemistry whatsoever, which occasionally happens. But I feel like all the teams this year had that. Like I felt like everybody was pretty happy with their teams and. All the games were pretty close. Like, nobody was, like, the bad team or the super good team. So, I don't know. Good year all in all for Breakfast Club, I think. And I think it'll be a hell of a match next week because we play them the one time in the season, and that's where Jonah was quarterback, and we had the lead. They came back and took the lead late, and we were trying to go score with, like, 2 minutes to go, and Garrett got a really nice pick to seal the deal.
Yeah.
So, it was like, there's another good game coming.
Is he the quarterback for Fitzmagic?
Garrett is, yes.
Yeah. And so they played Carnage?
Yep.
Who's Carnage? Is
Carnage,
that?
That's with Langley and Alex and Carly and all them.
Really
is
good
Langley
top to bottom team.
Quarterback?
Yeah, Langley's a quarterback.
Yes. Well, they lost, so Langley's the quarterback. Hi, John. Anyway, let's move on to D1.
All right. I got a lot of notes on these ones. I watched a lot of these games. They were fun. I'm going to start with Eyes Downtown.
How about we tell the scores first? We got to read the scores.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead. I'm new here.
Oh, okay. I was like, is she taking over?
Nope.
All right. So we have the Malone 70s.
You said it wrong.
The Malone.
Oh, sorry. The Malone's.
Back to the Malone's.
The Malone's.
After you broke 70. One's leg.
The Mavericks 39. Sticky Bandits 43. What a Dump 20. And Eyes Downtown 37. Free Ballers 36.
Yeah. So that obviously seems to be the most fun one. Let's just start with the top there. The Maloney's, they are so back, except for Jill, who Doreen cursed, apparently, and she had an unfortunate injury. Meanwhile, the Malones were giving Doreen a little bit of the business about it, which I think is hilarious.
As soon as I saw Andy, he was like, you cursed us, just screaming across the field at me, and I was like, what are you talking about? It's like, oh, you'll see in a few minutes.
Old lady you witch banshee powers, I told you.
And then, well, clearly it didn't work. I mean, look at the score.
Yeah.
So they waited for me to see Jill. And as soon as I saw Jill and she's walking in a boot, I went, no, what happened? And they were like, you happened. I was like, okay, sure. But, you know, actually soccer happened.
Right.
And I'm sorry, but that's on them for not keeping better control of their players. Like, you need to tell them that they're not allowed to go play anything else when we're nearing the playoff and championship, you know, section of the season. So I'm blaming them on that.
Did you make her play soccer?
Right. Exactly. I did not make her play soccer. So.
All right. You're free. What happened in the game, though?
Oh, my gosh. I have so many notes, but everybody listened because it was so much fun. I know that this is a crazy score, 70-39, but honestly, the Mavericks really hung in there until just the last few minutes of the second half. Now you're going to tell me you have an empty beer? And
yes.
I can't let you sit there the whole time.
It's okay.
Here, open it yourself.
Yes, dear. Go on.
Okay, so they hung in there. But I did notice Mavs didn't have one of their best guys. George was on the sidelines. Looks like he was hurt again.
He got hurt, I think, last week. Because you weren't there for that, right, Joe?
What? George got... No, he got hurt last week. He kind of tweaked his groin and to the point where he needed to get it checked out to see how bad it was. And it's like a super strain where they were like, if you play football this weekend, you're probably going to hurt yourself a lot more.
He was hurt enough that I think I was either roughing or playing on the next field, and I was like, do we need to stop and like check on him?
I don't want to bring that up.
Yeah,
right now,
I feel bad.
Yeah, so did I. But go on.
Okay, so Mavs started with the ball, and they started the game with an absolute bomb. Full length of the field that almost got broken up by the Malone Steve, but the receiver caught it on the second bounce, and they were at like the 2-yard line. And then they did this great girl play to start with a gender touchdown to Courtney, who was just catching everything. She had amazing hands. Malone's drove it down. They only scored 6. Mavs returned with another Courtney touchdown. So it was 16-6 at that point. Malone's then put up a 6-point bomb touchdown on their first play of that drive. Then Morgan caught a great 2-point conversion to bring it to within 2. Mavericks march it the full field, but they come up 1 yard short. So that's where they get their first stop. Malone's took that opportunity. They scored a very controversial race touchdown. But I do want to pause right here just to say that Race was like behind Jordan and he caught the ball. And the big thing about, you know, the whole year, the ball didn't cross the plane. But if both feet are behind the line, then it is a touchdown. I was kind of far down, so I did not see where he was. But it looked like he was behind the line from where I was standing anyways, because Jordan was, like, right in front of the line. So if he was behind Jordan, you know. So I'm going to say it was a little controversial, but not really. And then they got the conversion. So that put them up by 6. The Mavericks march it down again. There was a gender touchdown drop, but then they still ended up getting 6 points on the next down, plus the extra point. And the extra point, this was kind of fun, was bobbled by the player, and it was bobbled out of bounds, and Stoner kept his feet in bounds and basically hauled in the extra point. And then Malone's actually had kind of a rough ensuing drive after that. They got to midfield. So you thought that the Mavs were going to come up with a stop on 6th down. No. But who'd they throw it up to?
Malachi.
Of course. So, you know, you just kind of wonder if Mavs get that stop, then they go into the half up by a point. But instead, Malone's are up 28-23 at the half. So, again, just 5 points. It could be anybody's ball game. But Malone's got the ball to start the half. And they scored on that drive, so now they're up 35-23. Mavericks take over. Malone's put in a guy rusher at that point. He got a tip on Jordan, and so they were like 6 down, about 20 yards out. They got stopped on that drive. Malone's came down, scored a gender touchdown, and this is where it just starts to unravel.
Falls apart.
Yeah, Jordan threw an interception to Kai. They got another gender touchdown then, and it just felt like that sort of sealed the game. It was literally 53-23 at that point when I kind of stopped watching.
Kind of a wrap.
But
yep.
Yeah. A little bit of controversy when one of their players, Ashton, she hit her head and got up and she was sort of hobbling. And the Malones just went ahead and did a play when, you know, you should, honestly, out of good sportsmanship, stop because you could see somebody's hurt. But the refs didn't stop the game. So that kind of, in my opinion, was a sort of, you know, kind of shitty moment, but not as shitty as somebody using a homophobic slur to really put a damper on what should have been a really great and fun win for the Malones. More to come on my losers of the week for that one.
Foreshadowing. Jeff Kroll messaged me about the Sticky Bandits game, so I'll just read what he wrote real quick. And he said, Sticky Beats, what a dump. They struggled with attendance all year and had to pull Molly Santonicito, better known as Molly Morgan, out of semi-retirement to have enough girls to field the team. Their guys are all elite and played well enough against ours, but we had Kayla, Katie, and Jill to lean on, and it's almost impossible to overcome that. The game itself was tight in the first half. We were only leading by 3 before Quinton scored with 6 seconds left in the first half. Up 11 after the conversion, we had 2 10-point drives to start the second half. Thanks, Kayla and Jill, to go up by 31, and it was just over after that. So, yeah, What a Dump had a tough year for sure, obviously, and Sticky Bandits just kind of rolled through. Then the game of maybe the day? Well there's some other
I was going to say, too, for What a Dump, the What a Dump game. Mm-hmm. I mean, they, like, started the game with a pick to Andrew, but I was going to say Mike Thomas on like the second down throws an absolute bomb to Kayla Voss. Mm-hmm. And I'm like sitting there thinking I just came up with something. I'm like, do we say when she catches like
you great Voss?
Did you got Voss? Do we say that?
She bosses people all the time.
Yeah.
I feel like that's already a thing.
So it was really funny because at that moment, somebody on What a Dump was on the sidelines, and they literally said that they were trying to figure out which one of their guys, like, should cover a girl. And they were like, you know how, like, you can always, like, on some team be like, definitely cover this one. But they were like, do you cover Voss, Jill, or Katie Salisbury?
All of them.
Right? I know, right? So they were, I made the joke at one point where I was like, you should probably put all the guys on those girls and then put your girls on some of the guys and my mm-hmm. and my, you know. But then, I mean, you had Quentin and you got Drew. I mean, that's just wild.
It's giving me flashbacks to our scrimmage the other day of having to cover Bridget.
Yeah. I know Kisak got
it's not fun.
Fuck Andrew, who cares?
He got two interceptions, and then I remembered it was like 33-12 by the time I stopped paying attention to this game. I was like, I'm gone.
I don't blame you.
Bye.
Eyes downtown 37, Free Ballers 36. I know it came down to the end there, and
buddy.
You know, so what did he do there?
So quickly? It was just, you know, it was great. It was just one of those games where it was like back and forth. But where I saw that, I was like, that's going to hurt him. And how this even happened, I don't know. But touchdown Tori, of all people, they left her wide open in the end zone. She was in the middle, back of the end zone. He was only like 5 to 6 yards out.
This? Like the end of the game?
Towards the end. Okay. It was one of the last series. And they did take the lead by getting this guy touchdown on and out. But in my brain, I was like, oh my gosh, you just lost 2 points there. Mm-hmm. And I said, I was like, she was wide open. And Buddy had the nerve, the audacity to say, I wanted to ensure the touchdown. I said, bitch, we call her touchdown Tori, you know. And she's wide open.
Yeah, but I think her quarterback knows her better. And also, I know he would say that regardless about her, so I think you're falling for a little bit of a bit there.
No.
Yeah.
No. So anyways, it was funny, but then when I saw that they lost by one, I was like, oh, there's the 2 points.
Yeah, but I think they were going for the two and didn't get it. Mm. I'm pretty sure that's what they said. I was walking by at the time, so I didn't fully listen, but Buddy's like, we were close, we didn't get the thing we needed. So that's fine, it is what it is.
Yeah.
There was a real small, semi-unimportant D2 game that happened today. What was the score on that, Corey?
Yeah, why is there only one? Because there's like three teams in D2,
right? Yeah, there's five teams, so three of them have a bye.
D-Generation XYZ 40 and Buffalo Vice 30.
Yeah, this game was closer than I thought it would be because I saw parts of the beginning because they were playing right after our Breakfast Club game, and within like 2 minutes, Katie Keller was just catching a long bomb touchdown, and I was like, uh-oh. The route seemed to be kind of on, although Vice did obviously keep it close, but Baccio showed up for them. Their team was there. They were really kind of clicking on all cylinders. And
was that his first time?
No, he's been here once or twice before. Like, he had said he's like a part-time person because, you know, he's got his child now who was there, mm-hmm. Bowen. And, you know, it was there was this one play I'll say is that I watched where Baccio, it was for, like, they were probably on the five, essentially, and he was running a quick turn by the front cone, and Damian has to chuck it right away before he turns, and he didn't. So the guy got there and knocked it down, and Baccio looked at him like pissed, and he's like, you gotta throw that shit. And then he held back. He's like, you're not Cole, never mind. You could tell he just like immediately like composed himself. I thought it was hilarious. I was like, you're yelling at him like you think he's Cole, buddy. He's like, I know, I caught myself. So that was kind of funny. D3, where a lot of fun stuff really fucking happened here.
We can just skip right over this.
Yeah, let's just touch the first game real quick, and then we'll move on to the other ones.
All right, so we'll do Practice Squad 27, 2 Tutties 6.
And that is the end of the roughest season in 2 Tutties history, right?
No.
No, you guys had some fucking doozies in the beginning.
This is our first bad season in a while.
Look at my notes that I wrote on it. I was like, we beat them once before. It doesn't feel like their year, but they hung in until the second half.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't even remember what happened. I can write notes on everybody else's game, but my own.
Your own.
I was like,
you're like, oh, my brain's got this right. Nope, you erase your brain at the bar, Dory.
Yeah. I mean, so we're gonna set this up here, right? So
sure.
I'm coming into this game. We win in Breakfast Club. I'm elated. I'm like, all right, this is good. I look over. I see Matt Danwin running up and down the sideline. Oh boy. Like, you know, we got Danwin back. Jamie, who hasn't played all year, just she's needed to take a little break from the competitiveness and just like life stuff. She needed to step away.
And on
she's
the first
back.
Play, she gets a tip at the line. And almost intercepts.
Oh, exactly. I'm like, oh, this is going to be a good day. Everyone's back. And then just.
He literally goes, this is how we're going to start?
Like, yeah, yeah. Yeah. And yeah, just from there, it just all kind of fell apart, didn't it? I think I had my first drop of the year in this game. Like, it was just very clear early on the offense. Just wasn't clicking. I don't know who whoever your female rusher is, but she's great.
Ashton.
And she's really good. It's just no time.
And she's a fucking phenomenal person, too.
Yeah. I mean, I've never interacted with her, but I will take your word
there
for it.
There you go.
Yep.
So, but yeah, I mean, I think just like overall, like this is more about you guys than us, obviously. You guys won and you went on. So, but yeah, I mean, it didn't click. Like for whatever reason, like we added new players, like not like a ton, but I mean, like, you know, we had Stoner, we're like, oh, this is gonna be great, and then the year wasn't great. So I mean, there's like I say anything, it sounds excusey. Like I was thinking that going over, like there's definitely reasons for it, but I mean, either way, either perform or you don't, and we just weren't us this year, simple as that. And I think that really showed against you guys. You know, you guys are very experienced, you play together for a while, and you know, B's a good quarterback, and
well,
he
actually practice squad this year is literally just him.
Let me have my. Let me feel better. Yeah, let me feel better. Sorry. I don't get it. I don't understand it. We just did not have a good year. It sucked.
It happens. Everybody has a bad year.
Yeah, it was a little off.
It happens.
Yeah, I mean, Mike.
I couldn't tell if it was like. I mean,
Mike wasn't himself this year, and he's been fighting back from he had an Achilles problem, so he can't really. Part of his game is running around, and he's usually good at scrambling, and he was kind of trying to piece together that. He had a pinched nerve in his neck. Like, Mike was fighting through some stuff this year to the point he didn't play for a couple weeks, and, you know. So, it was just one of those years. We were bound to have him, and, you know, again, like, it's about you guys, not us. So, and your experience altogether that you totally had that you didn't just break me a little bit more.
Well, you might as well read the scores of the other games, then.
All right, so we have the interdimensional dumb name people.
Ish.
46, practice squad 13, BQY 17, Wanderers 12, Cunning Stunts 42, Bullet Club 41, Gray Hair Don't Care 33, Let's Get Wrecked 15.
Well, Gray Hair Don't Care 33, Let's Get Wrecked 15. All of us were either playing or reffing during this game.
I watched a little bit of this.
How? You had a game.
Because I was standing on the sidelines watching it.
Okay.
I only saw Ricky get beat twice in the end zone.
I know that's all you wanted to say, so I was letting you.
That's all I saw.
But yeah, Gray Hair Don't Care has had a really good year. Let's Get Wrecked a little up and down, but...
They're new. That's like a lot of those people are...
They're really talented athletes. When we play them, like, I just was looking at them like, oh, that's... I know they're a newer team, but like they're definitely a talented team. Like,
for
it's just
sure.
Playing
oh yeah,
the
like
other
individually,
more.
But like getting them all together to do the, you know, synergistic thing, I guess, is what they're working on.
You're not kidding. So Doreen, practice squad's reward for beating two tutties and putting them out of their misery was a 46-13 loss to Ish. I know they're very, very good, but what happened? You're just wheels fell off, or they're just
no. We hung in for like the first half, you know, and then it did become like a shit show after that. But there was just honestly a lot of like misconnections. Because I'll say this, we talk all the time about Buddy being, you know, an amazing quarterback. There's a lot of people who are complaining, and I am not one of them, but complaining that, you know, a lot of those people should be in D1 or D2. Truthfully, I think Buddy has made comments that he wanted to move up, but a lot of them kind of wanted to stick behind. But it also does get annoying then to like D3 people who are like, oh, you know, just knowing. But he's tough to rush, and Ashton got two sacks on him and a tip at the line. So
I'm just saying a lot about her as a rusher, because Buddy is probably the most evasive. It's either Buddy or Frank who are the most evasive quarterbacks in the league.
I'm giving it to Buddy, because I genuinely was shocked. I was so shocked that on Father's Day made sure to text Buddy, and I asked him if he wanted Ashton's phone number. And he asked me why, and I said, because I figured you wanted to wish her a happy Father's Day. And I had so much fun with that.
That's hilarious.
And he just wrote back, absolutely, and then I, like, printed that and sent it to her, because I was so excited. But she had such a great game, and honestly, she kept us in the game, because Yeah, we just had a really hard time connecting this entire year. I mean, really, we only had two wins. Hi.
Two studies, two wins.
Against one team. So it was, you know, I think it's something that needs to be worked on, but also just like accountability too. You know, you wanna recognize if you're not getting the ball there, we don't want to say it's because of somebody and how they're running the route. So I'm going to put that out there too, because that was right. A little frustrating.
I hear you. BQI 17, Wanderers 12, real close one here. Corey, you had the pleasure of reffing this game.
Pleasure of reffing the Bobby Key to Frank Bowl. I mean, generally, it was great until the end. It was just a game. It was a game where the Wanderers were, you know, I was expecting BQI to kind of go out and maybe score more points going off, but the Wanderers, I think Sale is back. They seemed like they had some more people than I saw them having earlier on in the season, and they were giving Bridget some problems throwing. I mean, we know Bridget's a great quarterback, and they were piecing it together. So, I mean, it was just a game that was a defensive struggle. There was a point where I think it was 8-6, like early in the second half, where I was like, "Oof! Like, is anyone going to score again for the rest of this game?" It just felt like a game that no one was going to score. I thought it was going to end at 8-6. I mean, towards the end of the second half, the Wanderers were driving. They came close. There's a play that, I don't know, it got blown dead, which may have been a touchdown, but, you know, wasn't kind of deal. Like, and then I think BQI went down and scored after that. So they ended up going up. Wanderers returned with a guy touchdown. BQI doesn't score. And that, you know, the second last drive of the game, Wanderers get the ball back with like a minute to go, rush down the fields. Bedlam happens. Like, there's some sort of penalties that are supposed to be called, too many men on the field. Or
you were reffing?
I was reffing, yes.
And you're like, something was supposed to be called.
I mean, so there was...
Well, what was it, Striker?
Okay, so...
Way to get to my game.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
So there was a little bit of, like, on my side of the field, the Wanderers started, like, going off and subbing off, like, my side of the field, like, last drive. Like, I was like, what are you guys doing over here? But, like, it was going on, and, like,
oh, no.
It's probably something I should have called, but in the moment, like, I'm sitting here, like, you know, I mean, Bobby actually calls it out after, saying TJ or JT should have, they were like, hey, like, that was the penalty, and, like, that was two plays ago, like, we sent them back, like, you know, they shouldn't have done it, but, like, they're down here, and then I guess they didn't end up having too many men in the field, and that gave the Wanderers, you know, a 5 to 7 yard play at the end of the game to throw it up, and that's what the, you know, Derek came over to me.
Who
he
was
reffing as well
on the wrong sideline.
Wanderers, yeah. Okay. They just all of a sudden came over, and I was like, I should be calling this. Like, yeah. I mean, I don't ref a ton. Like, it's one of those deals where, like, I don't know the exact rule of, like, can they be over here and come off in this side?
No,
like, I just
not. can only sub on one side.
Yeah, you can only sub off of the side that people are on. So, like, I can't be all the way on the right side of the field and just step off, and then you step out on the left.
So, like, what is it, though? So, at the start of the game, both teams are on the same sideline.
Sure.
Then that's the only sideline that can be
Yeah, so it's
used.
Like the first exactly. one they... Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I didn't love it. I probably should have called it, but it was one of those, like, I have a million things going on.
Right.
Like, you guys shouldn't be doing this. Like, get out of here. Rightfully so. Like, you know, then BQI got a penalty. They hand for too many men on the fields. So they got a little, like, screwed in that sense, and the fact that, you know, I didn't call that later, but then they get the whole play at the end, to which was a throw-up to, I don't know what player in the Wanderers from Frank. Last play of the game, mind you.
Mm-hmm.
Frank goes to throw it up, and it's a play that I, as a ref, I would say you see 3 times a game where maybe if it's guy on girl, you call it, but, like, guy on guy, it's just they're both going for the ball.
Okay.
Like,
little guy on guy
this
action.
This is a little guy on guy action. It was watching a little heated rivalry out there, you know? but yeah, I mean, defenders going over to try to, like, swipe the ball away. Like, they're just both going for the ball.
It's
and
a
like,
jump ball in a playoff game. Like, unless somebody is literally, like,
pulling on the ground.
By the waist, doing a
yeah.
thing.
Like, it's one of those ones where it's like they're both going for the ball. So I know the Wanderers weren't happy about that. I was made very abundantly clear that they were not happy about that. You know who you are. So yeah, I heard about
but
it.
No but no slurs were used, right? Was
okay,
there?
Cut it out.
So there was two. Okay.
Yeah. So
Yeah.
Come on now, people.
Made abundantly clear that I'm not a good ref. So, yeah, sure. Whatever you want, guys. I mean, we're on both sides of the fence. I mean, there was a play during our game where I was complaining about Andrew because I was like, how does he call that on them? And, you know, not on me, but not on them. And I turn around and it was halftime and Andrew's sitting right behind me staring at me. And I'm like, oh, sorry, Andrew. Hey, buddy, how's it going? But I mean, that's like different. Like, you know, if you're off with your teams, bitch your way, right? But like, I don't know, man. Just don't go off yelling at people. So, I mean, it was a great game. It was a really fun, entertaining game. Up until that moment, for the powder keg that it could have been, it actually was a very, like, good game.
Let's be honest, it probably did not affect the outcome of the game, mainly because of the fact that they got away with you know what I mean? Like, earlier in that same drive.
Correct.
That they got away with the what should have been a penalty.
They're two individual things. In a vacuum, they, you know, whatever. I mean, I also had Alex and Garrett come up to me after saying, like, oh, I wouldn't have called that DPI.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so it's not like I need, like, anything on it. It's just a player I'm looking at. I'm like, oh, someone's going to hate me either way. Yep, sorry. I mean, that's just not enough to call it. Like, you know, I know it was made it clear that we're not a contact league, and we're not, but sometimes contacts happen. Yeah, contacts happen when you're going for a ball. It's as simple as that. We all know
season,
it.
And they get upset. What are you going to do? I get it.
Yeah, it's
you called what emotions you couldn't call, man. You're fine.
Yeah. And they had a rough season, too, so that was probably, you know, upsetting. I know there's a lot of people are chatting about D3 after the games, too, and just how uneven it feels. So,
sure.
But there's only 5 teams in D2, so maybe they'll move some people around.
I mean, it would felt less uneven if we didn't suck this year.
Perhaps. So, Cunning Suns 42, Bullet Club 41. Yeah, nah, this one's
so close.
No, it's bad.
Oh no.
So we got warned. I'll just start off by saying that. The game itself was fucking awesome. It's everything expected to be. As I mentioned earlier, George got hurt, and you know he's one of our top players. And for him, who literally I always feel bad for him because he lives and breathes this team. He like loves it. And then for him to pull his groin, but he's getting it checked out because you know that he wanted to play. But he's like, fuck, it's better for him to not get hurt and potentially, if we win, not be able to play next week. So it's like, what do you do with that? Whatever. You know, then we were like, all right, Nate's going to be there, so it'll be fine. But then Nate had to go take care of his great grandmother who's not doing too well. So it's like, that sucks. Whatever. Long story short, they come out and score. We go back, we score, they come out and throw an interception. Sweet! Yay, us! We go down, we score, and then they score again, and then we throw a pick. Mm. And then they score. And then we're going back down, and this isn't the part of that I'm going to talk about, but there was one play. I'm sitting there on the line, I'm watching everything, Jordan scrambling. It's the last play of the... It's like 6-0, I'm pretty sure. And he's scrambling, he got away, and I'm right on the line. Warren's a little bit inside. Jordan didn't come anywhere near crossing the line. Like, he was, like, you know, he was scrambling, and then he, like, turned to start running back, like, away from the line. Didn't come close to stepping over the line. Warren blows the play dead and said he stepped over the line. Fucking wrong. Just, like, everything about it's wrong. Like, what are you fucking talking about? I'm like, Warren, are you fucking kidding me? I'm standing right on it, and he starts screaming. It's a whole thing, and it's like, motherfucker, whatever. And I'm like, in my head, I'm like, screaming at him right now in the first half isn't going to do anything because it's just going to piss him off and it's like could hurt us down the line.
Yeah.
Long story short, we end up going down 17 in the second half. It's like, this isn't going to be too great. But we end up coming back. And we score with like, I'm going to say like a minute to it. It's like the 2-minute warning, whatever. The point is they didn't have any timeouts left. We're up and they have to go fast, essentially, because they're going to run out of time. So that's pretty much what they do. And they start running. They start going down the field, bing, bing, make some catches, whatever. And maybe the worst shit in the world that could happen. Now, all I'm going to say is that after this play, do you remember how you felt after 13 seconds happened?
Oh, God, Joe.
That was my birthday, by the
way.
Yeah,
so that is the, like, terrible way that this made me feel afterwards. On top of it, knowing that it's not just because they scored because of their team, but because of all the fucking shit that happened. But long story short, time's running down. Joey throws a ball to, I don't remember who caught the ball, but they caught it probably, let's just say, by the 5-ish. Warren's way behind the play, but he's doing the clock, and he's yelling, 3, 2. They're all scrambling to get a snap off. I don't think the refs
so they
even
were all moving.
I don't think the refs even spotted the ball because Jeff Ames told me, like, hey, he knows that it's going quick. He's going to the end zone to watch because he knows that the ball's going to go there. Warren saying one, and then Joey throws the dog toy down and snaps the ball. They're moving.
Yeah.
It's either they weren't set, time ran out and they were set, or they weren't set because, like, three people are moving at this point. It's an easy whatever. And Joey calls Hike and throws the ball to Katie Salisbury, who's just wide open. Nobody's near her on the sideline. She catches it by, like, the three and goes in.
That fucking
It doesn't
bitch.
Matter. It's definitely penalties, whatever. Also come to find out that Jordan and Nick, Joey called a timeout, but nobody heard it in the chaos. That's also a penalty. Now, Joey says he didn't call a timeout. Of course he didn't, because, like, whatever. But for Jordan and Nick to both hear it and then not move?
Yeah.
They're like, well, that's wrong, too. So either Joey just said it knowing the refs are not listening and that fucked with them and got them to, like, pause. Maybe he didn't say it at all, but I'm pretty sure they're
It'd
not just going to say
that.
It'd
be a piece of shit move.
Either way, whatever. He said, she said, whatever. Again, I don't even know if the refs brought the ball because it looks like they just kind of threw the dog toy down and called Hike because they had to. But again, Warren's behind fucking by running from, like, halfway, you know, like the half. You can see multiple people moving. There's no way if they were all on offsides, three people are moving minimum. This is an easy, all right, cool, none of this counts, whatever. And they call it a touchdown. And we're like, what are you talking about? And it's like, this happened. And instead of them even, like, listening, they just got really pissed off. It's like, whatever. Joey did the smart thing. He huddled the girls up quick and said, let's shake their hands, get the fuck out of there. So, like, they're walking by. We're like, what the fuck? But, like, they shake hands and get right off the field because they don't want to get called back on or get told anything. The people who were watching the game, the worst part is it's like one thing if you're like, all right, I'm in the game. Maybe I'm seeing it a certain way. I know what I fucking saw. But then when like 10 to 15 people who aren't a part of it are like, yeah, you guys got fucked. Garrett even saying, he's like, I looked away for a second because he was talking to somebody and he said, had I seen exactly what happened? He's like, I don't like inserting myself, but if I would have seen that fucking shittiness, he would have had to.
Yeah.
I could have appealed.
Mm-hmm.
I could win the fucking appeal. What do you do in that situation? Do you appeal and then win? Like, what if we win the appeal, we get to play next week because of this, but then we win? What if we win the championship? There's like an asterisk on that. That feels wrong.
And I think I brought this up to you, too. You appealing comes with
the joke. There's all that, too. But, I mean, I didn't even be texted about it first. B heard about it. He's like, you want me to text Kroll? I was like, I'm not doing it. Because, like, whatever. And other people texted Kroll and said, hey, they got fucked here. What the fuck? Warren should never ref again. And of course, let's not forget that Warren vanished in the first half to go find his fucking kid again. George and Emily, because Joey said it was okay for George to ref on this side, because at least he had to approve, like, the person from the other team who's not playing help out refing while Warren goes to find his kid again. But yeah, it was like at halftime, Garrett apologized to me for putting him on the game because of the over-the-line shit that he got horribly wrong. Because that cost us points, too, technically. But they escaped with one. And, I mean, the girls are great, and I hate, like, I'm not trying to take anything away from them. They're awesome.
Oh, but if it were the other way around, the bitching would be happening. And
of course,
we know
and that's fine. And I would understand it.
Yeah.
Like, that's completely the way it would be. And it puts you in a really shitty situation because, like, I don't want to win that way. Like, I'm not going to try to win. But when I say that, I mean, I'm not going to try to win by getting an appeal and doing it that way. It's like, it fucking sucks, you know?
Yeah.
What do you do with that?
Yeah.
So you just have this, like, weird, empty feeling. And it's one thing if you lose this type of way in fucking week five and nobody cares.
Right.
But it's like, this was, like, a season we felt really good about. Like, I think we could beat any team on here, no problem. Yeah. And it just wasn't it.
Yeah.
And that sucks. And I feel bad.
Well, now their win is going to have an asterisk on it.
Maybe, cool. But I'm not sure.
I'm marking it
win.
Down right now.
I'm just saying. If it does.
If they win, they win. And that's fine. And again, that's nothing against them. It just isn't. Like, good work on them. No, it's not. I'm not mad at any of the girls or anything. It's not their fault that they were rushing to the line.
Didn't leave in. Any of the girls. I'm not mad at
any of the girls.
What? I'm not mad at Joey either. I just meant the girls team in general. Like, whatever. That's fine. They did. If I win that way, I understand. Let's shake their hands, get the fuck out of here. Yeah. The rest fucked up. No, well. But it sucks. But, like, it fucking sucks. And what are you going to do? I mean... It's like, I've just, you know.
I'm so scared for the refing. Actually, I have, like, a little, like, final thought on the refing, too, just because of, like, a couple of different, you know, scenarios that I saw even happening. Like, And I'll just talk very quickly on this. I had a couple people who were mentioning how Blaze was reffing, because he was reffing like in the huddle with the team. And somebody actually said, what is he doing? He's running back and forth. And I made the comment, that's what you want your ref to do. Yeah. Actually running up and down the field and so marking cares. He cares. Yeah, and he's in the huddle because, and somebody thought he was in the huddle to like hear the play and try to tell the other team.
It's just they're not used to it.
And I know. And I said, I think it's just that he wants to be there to say 10 seconds left.
A lot of these newer people don't remember Billy Gunn, who used to be on the fucking field the whole time. I mean, say, all right.
Was he an ass man?
Hated him.
It was actually, but but he was. That's how he reffed too. You know, like that's he's their own.
But he sucked at it.
Sure, but the point is that had they played more, they'd be like more used to be like, oh, people do this, but nobody. It's more rare.
Yeah, obviously. Guys, you're getting $30. Mm-hmm. Fucking move.
Mm-hmm. All right, what happened in fucking D4?
So we have Balls Deep in the Ball Bowl. By the way,
that's right.
We started writing the scores on the wrong side when I reffed this game. Balls mm-hmm. Deep 22, Flying Balls 6, Cobblestone 37, Show Me Your TDs 6.
Yeah, so not much really to say here. Balls Deep came out, beat Flying Balls.
Wait, I got stuff on Balls Deep.
I ref the Balls Deep game.
Yeah. Okay, but what is there really to say here?
Balls Deep scored a lot in first half. Balls didn't score at all.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Flying Balls had a very, very rough fucking year. That's for sure.
Those balls just were bashing together, and one ball finally came on top.
The cool thing is that Balls Deep was up the entire game.
Yes.
That's what's so cool about it. And Puckett battled back.
But that's not the game we're talking about.
No, we're talking about Flying Balls.
I thought you were talking about...
We're talking about Balls Deep and Flying Balls.
Oh, I'm sorry, Balls Deep and Flying Balls. Oh, and Cobblestone, Show Me Your TDs. I didn't see that one.
Yeah, we're gonna. Yeah. I was just trying to get to the playing games and then.
No, yeah, the Balls Deep.
Right. I'm new here.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
It's my first time.
Genuinely, the funny thing about this, even reffing this game, if you would have asked me, hey, what was the final score of that before the start of this, I'd have been like, oh, like 37 to like 6. Yeah, I just wasn't expecting it to be that. But yes, let's get on to the next games, right?
Right, like I said, Balls Deep. Handled business. They handled more
is
business.
Is that the
than
D4?
Page is on that.
They won D5
Chris,
last time.
Yeah. So my thing. No, I know Balls Deep. I was saying Flying Balls because
Flying Balls is the
they're
team
the
that
one that should have
really
gone
good.
To only D5.
Yeah, they went up two.
Yeah.
And
so
it didn't go well.
They were the ones.
I heard, by the way, that they have a lot of different players, which I guess is a big reason for not going up two divisions because those players are the reason you were going to go up. So.
And the quarterback that was there before, I was talking to him, he just didn't want a quarterback anymore.
I can see that being an issue, yeah.
Which is funny, because I thought he was really good. Like, he was just naturally good at it. Remember when they were on the show, they were talking about how they don't, like, plan a ton, and they just kind of go out there and do things. And
we don't have plays. Fuck you guys.
The second you go from D6 to D5, that's a problem, let alone going up to D4. Mm-hmm. So.
Sorry.
And then Show Me Your TDs, obviously, they've had another... They were another one that had rough years all the time. They got through it. They improved as time went on, but not in this game. Cobblestone throttled them. To go to the, we'll call it the real games, where we got some stuff to talk about here. What happened in the second round?
So we have Cobblestone 15, Mike's Detailing 7, Balls Deep 35, Puckett 28, The Coochie Monsters 43, Tater Tots 15.
I hate that name.
Not So Sticky 20. Powerpuff Girls 17. No, they're not allowed to lose in the playoffs. That's not.
No, I know. It's true. It's really weird. Kroll messaged me about his game real quick so I can knock that out. Oh, no, I lost it. Where did it go?
Not So Sticky? Yeah, I asked Mike Thomas. He didn't send me anything yet. So
Kroll was like, our pregame keys to the game were never throw near Kyle on offense and Ricky rushes on defense. They're all amazing and they made a ton of plays. We had a 3-point lead at the end needing to stop and they were driving on us until we had a fluky play where Evan tipped a ball which bounced off Hot Vodka's head and Zach made the diving pick for the win. We are giving Ashley full credit here. Also, our side bet with Jill was that the winner gets to write a poll item on the website about the game so you can see there what we wrote about it. Which I did see the poll.
Did you see it?
Yeah.
What is it?
No, people go to the website and check it for themselves. No, it says, like, Jill admits being lost in Ricky's eyes and he's too handsome to distracts her. That's why they lose or something stupid like that.
Who suggested that one?
Probably Ricky. I just that makes the most sense to me. I don't know what else to tell you. Yeah, so Sticky beat the girls. Like I said, it's not the usual Powerpuff Girls. Not So Sticky knows what they're doing. And they tend to win games that are lower scoring. So if the girls couldn't put it in the end zone, it's not too surprising that they won. Everything else is almost surprising. So I don't even know where to start.
Coochie Monsters.
Sure, Coochie Monsters. Tater Tots 15. The Tots just didn't score, right?
Yeah, it's just, again, you know, it's just a tough season. And they did admit they had a case of the dropsies. But also, Coochie Monsters went into that. I guess it's on the website as like only 1 point favorites. And it said because they'd been beaten by the Tots before. But actually, the Monsters won against the Tots before, and they won by 12 points. So they said it was misreported, and that's why they were like almost mad. They had a spread of only 1 point going into the game. And so they said it was like 19 points towards the end of the game before they put another 8-point gender touchdown at the end to like put on a whooping. But I do have to say that also there were people coming up to me, you know, talking about like, oh, this divisions, they need to switch stuff around, and oh, Buddy should be D2, and a lot of people are talking about Coochie being sent up whether they win a championship or not as well. So there could be some league controversy.
They're the
talk.
3 seed.
Yeah.
By that logic, the other two have to get sent up. Where do they go?
Let's see.
You know, but yeah. Obviously not the day for the Tots, because they had been scoring a shit ton of points. Like you said, I saw B right after the game, or during the game, it was near the end, and I was just like, how's it going? He was doing the head shake. He's like, a lot of drops by us today. A lot of drops. And then I talked to other unnamed Tater Tots at some point, and they're like, ah, B didn't have his best game. So, you know, there's that. I told B that, too, just to fuck with him.
But they're 69ing blame.
B's listening to this right now, and he's just like, who said that? I want to know, Joe K. I'm going to get a text, maybe.
Well, put it in I saw like receivers from Tots actually did say that they had
no,
dropped too. So they admitted it, but there was
probably a bit of both.
So Cobblestone 15, Mike's Detailing 7 is the most impressive score we'll read on this podcast all year, except for the fact when you find out that Delfonso wasn't there, Mike's Detailing didn't have their quarterback,
yeah.
Somebody's playing quarterback who's, you know, not a quarterback, and that's what you get. And, you know, I got to say...
even with that, though...
I think I read this last year that they were when they were really good, they didn't have their quarterback for the playoffs.
Oh.
We barely... No, I think they played their regular quarterback against us in the playoffs last year. I mean, if they didn't, whoever they played was doing pretty well.
It's either that or maybe it was the year before. There was one... I could have sworn there was one of these years where they
We barely scraped by them for the championship game last year.
I mean, the funny thing is, too, is that they were only up... Cobblestone was only up by 8. Mm-hmm. With like 6 minutes left in the game, and I watched the end of it because I was like, oh, they're gonna, you know, come back and get them. But Cobblestone ended up having to even put in a female QB, who marched it down.
What happened to Daryl?
She threw an interception, unfortunately, on that drive. I think it was just that it got to like 4-2.
Oh, let's just have a girl throw to get the plays done.
Yeah, but they like ended up. She did a good job, so they ended up just letting her do a couple more, but. Unfortunately, that she threw the interception. But so Mike's Detailing got the ball back, and that was when it was like under 6 minutes at that point, mm-hmm. and they're only down by 8. They got to 4-2. They had to put in a female QB. She only did 2 plays though, and I think then the female quarterback on Cobblestone ended up being the rusher, and she sacked whoever that QB was, mm-hmm. who was, you know, for Mike's Detailing. But then Cobblestone showed up on defense because Mike's got, like I said, when they went to 4-2, they were at midfield, and they threw the girl in to throw for 2, but she only got like 5 yards. So with like 40 seconds left, 6 down from just past midfield, they hoisted it up, and Garrett got the interception to end the game for Cobblestone.
That makes sense. That's fitting. And then the other one, Balls Deep 35, Puckett 28. As far as I know, Puckett had everybody.
Yes?
Yeah, no, like I didn't hear anything different from that. But either way, Balls Deep figured it the fuck out at the right time, right? Now all of a sudden they're looking like they looked like last year when they won, you know, the D5 title. Now they're knocking off fucking Puckett, so that's awesome.
And they were, this is the one I have the notes for. Balls Deep was up the whole game, but Puckett battled back, and they got up by 1 point with only 2 minutes left in the game. So Balls Deep ended up getting the ball. They drove it down. They got Emma with the clutch gender touchdown and 2-point conversion with only seconds left in the game. So Puckett had only one last play, and it had to be a gender play. Mm-hmm. And, of course, it was a Hail Mary that didn't connect.
Right.
So.
But, hey, again, shout out to Balls Deep. That's really awesome. So
fun.
3, 5, 7, and 8 survive. That's... D4 is bananas. Yeah. I love that. Honestly,
it is like the Wild Wild West.
It feels like if you look at it, it's like you could see a world where the 1, 2, 6, and 4 seeds were the winners. Like, yeah. Everything. If every game was reversed, you could see that being real too. Like the way it was, it's crazy. D5.
We have Pit Parade 37, Mo Chicken 6, Sausage McMuffins 21, Wet Bandits 0, and a forfeit.
Yeah, Wet Bandits ended up forfeiting. I think
they didn't even show up. I talked to because Stutz is quarterbacking for Sausage McMuffins now.
Well, they called Jeff the day before. They said they have too many injuries and they don't have enough people on their roster, so they couldn't field the team. Like, people are just hurt; they can't play.
I don't think McMuff knew it because
they didn't, because that was one of my losers of the week, is Alex for not giving them the information that they didn't have the first game. Because while we were playing our game for Pit Parade, the McMuffins were just kind of hanging out there, and they're like, "Where's our opponents?" And they're like, and Jeff's like, "They didn't. Alex didn't tell you that you were for." He's like, "I told them. He understood." So I don't know. Something happened with communication there. Whatever. It's fine. But
Alex read the text and forgot to send it.
I'm not gonna shit on the Bandits for that though. That's not what I'm saying. Like they did all the right things there. They did it ahead of time, you know. But
from Sausage McMuffins, Alex.
Oh yes, of course.
He's the captain, so I'm assuming, right?
Yeah.
Either way, Pitterate 37, Mo Chicken 6, Succotino. No. Aww. I'm just kidding. But
Jerry said we talked shit about them.
Did we?
I don't know. Something. I didn't remember. He came up to me. He's like, "Yeah, you talking shit on the podcast?" I was like, "Was that this season?"
Sounds like us.
You say one nice thing about him right now.
Yes, me.
One good thing about Mo Chicken.
Yeah, well,
Tino. I love Tino.
Yeah, that's exactly.
They wear a nice light blue.
Jerry skimmed my pool once.
Oh, I was there for that. Yeah.
No,
I didn't. That was after I left.
Jerry's a great guy.
I'm
happy. He came up and said something. I was like, I didn't even. I'm like, if anybody's saying anything bad about it, it was Tino.
It was probably us. Honestly, we don't know. We just say stupid shit all the time. This is the first game all year that we had our whole team, for the most part. We didn't have Dave Walter, who was golfing, but other than that, you know, our girls showed up, our, you know, tall gentleman showed up, Orzo showed up, you know, Q played like he played last year when he was winning MVPs, Jeff was throwing well, everything just clicked. It was the way you wanted it to be for us. It's like, oh, this is what the season was supposed to be like if people would have showed up every week.
So we were just basically like, there was a coin flip for which one of us that had a full team for the first time of the year.
Yeah.
You know, and then we lost that full coin flip.
You won. Yeah, we absolutely won. It was great. And then, of course, there was a play in there near the end of the first. Actually, it was the last play of the first half where one of our good guys, Maliki, caught a really cool jump ball, got his toes in, and landed on the ground, and ended up cracking some ribs.
Oh,
screaming in pain. I guess it's just he's got bruised everything, whatever.
I saw him like stretching.
Yeah,
out.
He couldn't play, and that sucks because he's a difference maker for us. He's like one of our best players, if not our best player. And you know, he's one of the ones that hadn't been able to show up for you know, various reasons. Like, whatever, it's fine. He wasn't being like flaky. He just had shit to do that he couldn't really get out of. I get it. It's fine. It was fun seeing what the team could do when everybody was there, and then of course he's not there, which we'll get into in a minute in the second game. But yeah, just everything that could have went right for us went right for us. But you know, shout out to Mo Chicken. They're cool people. They're fun to play against. They're funny. I think they're nice players. Like, they just play the game. Then nobody's a dick.
Saying something nice now.
What? That's the truth though. Like, I mean,
sounds kind of condescending, doesn't it?
Yeah, forced. Yeah, a little forced.
Yeah. Whatever.
It's fine.
The only thing we had to force was Tino to be here, and he failed, so whatever. He's got
Tino.
Stuff to do, but he gets picked on. It's fine. He's got a whole intro about it. What happened in the second round there, then?
All right, we got Birds of War. I feel like I need to do this. Caw! 46, Come From Behind, 34.
Strike one.
Call the Doctor, 22. You're laughing. Pit Parade 15, Sausage McMuffins 35, Blitzkrieg 33,
whoa.
Blue Ballers 53, 716ers 34.
That's fucking gym class heroes.
So, well, we'll just to lead into it. So, Call the Doctor 22, Pit Parade 15. Obviously, like I just said, we immediately go down our best player there. That made things harder, but the team, we went down early. It was 14-8 early on, and we scored with, I don't know, not too much time left. To go up 15-14, they come down. They end up scoring with like 2 minutes to go, and we have like two timeouts left, and we're kind of rushing. And we were moving the ball down the field, and then on like fourth and one, Eichhoff makes a good, jumps a route and makes a nice pick and ends the game that way. It sucked, but just, you know, it was a good game. A good fun was had by all. Like, after a trying season where every week it was like, oh, we lost again, this sucks. It was like, it was good to see everybody on the team smiling, having fun. We won a game. Arguably could have won this game if, you know, Mike doesn't get hurt, blah, blah, blah. So, shout out to Call the Doctor. They're a very good team. It'll be interesting to see what happens to them next week. Let's see. Which one do you want to talk about here, guys?
I mean, I don't know shit about any of these.
That's all. It's all you guys. Either.
Birds of War 46 come from behind 34.
And so, we saw Paul came back.
Come from behind was winning in this game for a little while there, especially in the first half. Birds of War ended up getting it together and making the comeback, obviously, as you can see here. I guess you could say they came from behind. But, yeah, Birds of War has just been kind of like dunking on people, I guess. They've been scoring a lot of points from what I'm seeing. And they're one of the favorites for winning now, especially with Blitzkrieg losing, which we'll touch on in a second. So, yeah, that's just what happened. Birds of War was down. They figured it out. They came and won the game. So, shout out to them.
I won't lie. I was hoping for Blitzkrieg.
Birds of War. So, Blitzkrieg didn't have half their team. They didn't have.
Jenna told me they were Iron Manning. Yeah, they have a million people too.
They have, yeah. But everybody had to go to like a bachelor party. I'm pretty sure is what they said, like an out of town one. Poor decision making by that person, whoever picked that date, because you should know ahead of time that it's playoffs. But
bachelor party for somebody on their team.
I mean, enough that half of them were gone. So, oh, I think so. Yeah. So either way, it was just they knew they had low attendance, and they were just gonna hope that they could kind of survive to next week, and it didn't happen. They got to play the McMuffins, who were obviously well rested because they showed up early. They got to practice. they didn't have to play, you know, the whole bunch of shit. So, yeah, I mean, it's kind of awesome for the McMuffins to show up, get that win. Moving on as a fucking 9 seed, that's pretty sick. You feel bad for Blitzkrieg, who had a really good season, only for it to have to like to lose that way because half your team can't show up when it matters. That kind of sucks, but that's the way life goes sometimes, right? And then Blue Ballers 53, 716ers 34. I don't know. The Blue Ballers had been like scoring 50 points a week for, I don't know, 7 weeks, and then just kind of lost a couple games and finished fourth in the division. Mm. But it seems like their team, because I know they had people missing games, their quarterback wasn't there. It seems like everybody was there this week because they just did what they've been doing all year except for those 2 weeks and just dunked on another team. So
I didn't watch the game, but I have a comment on Blue Ballers.
Mm-hmm.
Bucket Hat. I don't know his name.
I feel so bad. He's the quarterback. We always call him Bucket Hat.
He's the best. I think if there was like a superlative, there we go.
Sounded up, boy.
Yeah, close enough. For like best bad weather quarterback, I would put him. Every time it's been raining in a monsoon, I've just seen him like he tore us up in like the monsoon games last year. And then the monsoon games this year, I see them put up, like, just easy passes. And I'm like, we're barely moving the ball. And, like, he's really good quarterback. Like, I think he's going to ascend to be one of the better quarterbacks. Yeah.
We all are.
Yeah. Well, come on. Let's be real here. We all are. That's why we're, in our 30s and 40s playing football.
Keep going.
I'm still in one of those categories.
Not for long.
I don't know, you're putting Mummy's Curses on Malone, so I don't know how old you are.
Clearly it didn't work.
No, it didn't work. It just worked on the nice one. Good job.
Right? I know.
She was the sacrifice. That was the whole plan.
Jeez.
All right, but yeah, Blue Ballers just did what they did. 716ers had a pretty good first season. I mean, finishes the 5 seed. They end up, I think they were like 500 throughout the year.
Great jerseys.
Yes, they do have really good jerseys. I saw they have the America like flag on like the numbers. They got like white jerseys. They actually white have football jerseys instead of just like
America.
You know, fuck yeah! So, shout out to them. Hopefully, they come back because they can make some waves next season for sure. And then finally, Division 6.
We have Irish Giants 37, Sticky Laces 0, Raw Milkers 29, Select 27. I don't know if you guys have anything on the Irish Giants Sticky Laces game.
I just watched it, and you know, if I'm being honest, we like wandered away after a few.
Yeah, you don't stare at a car crash. Every
I know. Day. It's happening. So
yeah,
there's a
bag out of here.
I know that Kyle threw 4 interceptions. That's all I like gained from seeing them after. He's like, yeah, I like threw 4 picks. It was a rough day.
It was a very rough day.
I didn't.
And
the
Irish Giants is
their
so
defense
good.
Is really good. Like no matter what, when we've played them back when they were Gucci before, because it's essentially Gucci without Kelly.
Yeah.
Right. Their defense is just solid. Like they're tough no matter.
Latino.
Who. Yeah. I mean, Tino Utz is a really good defender. Mm-hmm. They have, like, a bigger dude in this team. He's just all over the place. Like,
and they have all very tall receivers. Yeah. So, and a tall quarterback.
Yeah. I mean, they're a good team. I'm genuinely surprised that they're in D6 a lot of the times. So.
Yeah. So, at least this time when Sticky Laces didn't show up to the playoffs, it wasn't because they just didn't want to play.
Yeah.
Remember, they were like, oh, we don't want to lose that team. So, yeah, that one. So, at least this time they took their lumps.
Rain day.
Raw Milkers 29, Select 27. Shout out to the Raw Milkers for pulling one out on Select. Both teams had been, I guess, kind of similar throughout the year. I know they were both kind of like figuring it out on one side of the ball or the other, but I know that Doreen has notes on this, so tell me what Mark had to say. Or did you talk to Sin?
No, I watched the game.
What?
Yeah, we were there early heckling on the sidelines.
That tracks more, actually.
Select started with the ball. They drove it down. There was a great jump touchdown by Sin. Raw Milkers then, they drove it down, got a touchdown. Select drove it back with another jump touchdown by Sin. Next drive, Raw Milkers got to the red zone, but then they threw an interception to Sin. So he was just on fire. The following drive came up short for Select. Then Raw Milkers got intercepted by Sin again. The next drive was another huge Sin touchdown. Raw Milkers got a touchdown, and then Select got another bomb touchdown to Sin. And then they also got a safety. So by this point, they're up 8. Raw Milkers march it down. They get a gender TD to tie, but didn't convert. So it was a tie game with a minute left. Select has the ball. They don't score. So we had overtime. And you get 3 downs from, what, the 5-yard line, mm-hmm. I believe? And one has to be to a girl. Mm-hmm. Select got a touchdown. So all they had to do was stop Raw Milkers. Raw Milkers got their shot, and they got a gender touchdown to win the game.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. It's very exciting.
I did not know this was an overtime.
Yeah.
That's pretty sweet. Oh, cool.
It was very cool. And honestly, like, Sin then, you know, played on practice squad after that, and I think he had, like, 2 interceptions on that one, and he had a touchdown, like a bomb one. So, I mean, the guy had, like, I don't know, 4 or 5 touchdowns, 4 or 5 interceptions. I lost track by the end of the day. And, of course, like, I asked him for notes, and he doesn't say anything about himself, you know.
Right.
I think he said something like about, hold on, he did write something. He said that he wanted to thank his squad for sticking with them and busting ass. They loved this season, even though it didn't end, you know, going to the championship. And he wishes all the D6 teams left good luck and stay safe, play hard, and he wants to see some action next week. Could he be any sweeter?
Sin's a really nice guy.
Aren't they the sweetest?
He was supposed to sub for us, but old Dierkiewicz couldn't decide if he wanted to play or not. Mm-hmm. So
would have been better to have him in Sin. He doesn't drop
anything.
Well,
it's nice to have somebody who can catch the ball, right?
Anyway. Poor ducky.
Nah, he's a sweet
boy. It's so funny because, like, you'll see him catch, like, the most, you know, amazing catches, and he'll have, like, a day where he catches 9. And on the 10th one, he drops, like, an easy one or something. Everybody's like, drop Gowitz and all that. And I'm just like, he just made 9 great catches.
All right. Well, winners of the week time.
Dun, dun, dun.
Jeff Kroll gave me some too, so I'll read his first, and then Doreen can go after that, and then I'll end, I guess. Jeff Kroll's winner of the week is Balls Deep, which sucks because that's what I put already.
God damn, that's what I put too.
Yeah.
No!
Well, they deserve it, right? Like, after a semi-trying season, they did everything. Like, Jeff wrote, they had confidence and no one else believed in them, but they beat Puckett and deserve tons of credit, which is true. They really were a little shaky most of the year, but they stayed true to themselves, figured it out, and ended up pulling off a really good fucking win, so shout out to them. Doreen, you're up.
Hi. Okay, I have a few. One of them, actually, this comes from Garrett. He wanted to shout out Katie Topolsky because she caught everything and had what seemed like 15 catches on the day. I also want to shout out Sin for having like 4 touchdowns, 4 interceptions on the day. Definitely going with my TMA team. I always give them a shout out, even though we had the bye. I'm going with Will, Val, Darren, myself,
the team,
and Brent. I'm going with us 5 because we had a bye and we still showed up to get hammered on the sidelines.
Yeah, and you did.
Yeah, a little bit. But anyways, and my last winner of the week is Ashton for really kind of just rising above stuff, but also for being the only person I've ever seen to sack Buddy twice and tip
a line, tip a ball at the line. So she had an amazing, and she had phenomenal catches on our two games and the Mavericks game too. Just seeing her haul those in. So she had an amazing day.
All right, Corey, what do you got?
Well, I was going to say balls deep, but I will make I'll go a little more in depth on balls deep. I'll go deeper.
Balls deep.
For the first time, I love. Let's see. It sounds even terrible now with where I'm going to. I was actually going to call it Paige specifically on balls deep because she wasn't playing. She's had a rough year, right?
Yeah, she broke
her.
Hurt.
She broke her finger or whatever, and like she was cheering her team on the sideline the whole time.
Kept showing up for her Breakfast Club team because she's a captain there, too.
Correct. And she, I'm a big fan of Balls Deep just because I ended up like practicing with them a lot, yep. You know, a couple years back. Like, they're really good people, so I'm happy for them there. But when I was reffing, I was on the sideline, and I just come back from playing Breakfast Club, so I just don't have half the shit like I want, right? Like, mm-hmm. You know, like, oh, I wanted to pee before I get over here, but I can't. I just got to run over. I want to drink, whatever. Paige was nice enough to run back to my bag, grab a pair of sunglasses, left my hair tie somewhere, you know, as I'm long-haired Corey now. She grabbed me a hair tie, so it was very nice of her to assist me in those moments there. And then, you know, she's a good person, and Balls Deep, they're all good team. Great players in that team. Chris is a really great guy. I mean, they love them as just people. So, yeah, they're my winner for the week.
All right. Then my winner of the week, obviously. I was also going to say Balls Deep. But I can pivot, too. So I'll give a couple. I try not to usually every week say, like, oh, this person on my team, that person on my team. But
I do.
First, I know. That's why I try to switch it up. But I'm going to do it this time. Kelsey played this week because I know she's had – struggles with Nate. She only made like one or two games this year because of being, you know, a Tonawanda Cobb now and doing all that.
Big
so
shit talker.
So she hasn't, but yeah, huge shit talker. But she got to play against the Stunts, and, you know, the Stunts are a collection of some of the best girls in the league, and Kelsey caught like 2-3 touchdowns. She looked awesome. I was like, I forget how good she is when she's like playing and is on. So that was really cool. And I'm going to give a shout out to Jordan because, you know, despite how everything ended up, like, yeah, he threw an interception, but that really wasn't on him. That bounced off one of our guys' hands. Like, should have been caught. It was a good throw.
It's the worst.
So, other than that play, there was one throw that maybe he would have wanted back, but he kind of almost threw a fucking perfect game. Because you have to beat the Stunts, especially when they're on. And he just deserves credit for coming in and, like, giving a different vibe to the team. Because we've had different quarterbacks in and out for, I don't know, since Jeff Easton died and then came back eventually, but
I was like
right, I mean, he's playing, obviously he's back, but like we haven't had a consistent, like, we had like on and off quarterbacks for quite some time, but yeah, he just comes in and it's like just his presence as a quarterback and like knowing what he wants and stuff like that, we didn't really always have like a quarterback the way he quarterbacks, and it just really worked out for everybody. It was a more calming presence for literally everybody across the board, so that's kind of why it felt like, you know, oh man, this one's our year. But you know, shit happens, and shit did happen, and it's okay. But he deserves a lot of credit for having was a really, really fun season for everybody, honestly. And it sucks the way it ended, but it is what it is. So, losers of the week, Doreen, go ahead. You have your scroll. Oh, wait, I can do the Jeff Kroll one first. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
you're going to do the Kroll scroll?
The Kroll scroll. Jeff Kroll's is pretty easy. He said, the loser of the week is Jenna, for sure. Blitzkrieg was heavily favored, but lost to her former QB, Nick Stutzman, and Wanderers had their streak of 24 consecutive winning seasons snapped when she joined their team. Maybe she's cursed. Jeff Kroll, ladies and gentlemen. Doreen?
I can't follow that up.
All right.
Again, rarely am I speechless. Jeff Kroll. Okay,
damn, Doreen not having a word to say is the Jeff Kroll also winner of the week for shutting Doreen the fuck up.
Not many men can do that. Okay, so I'm gonna say I have about three players actually that don't show up for their team especially during playoffs. So I'll kind of lean into exactly what was just said. But, yeah, we had people on practice squad that were sending us text messages 30 minutes beforehand, like, do you still need us? You know, and it's like,
yes, what? Motherfucker.
It's, but I just wrote back, it's playoffs, you know.
Did they show up?
Nope. Fuck them. And, but, you know, I know that people have stuff going on. It's just, if you know that you have stuff going on, make sure you tell people ahead of time, like, hey, I'm not going to be there on playoff week, make sure we get a sub, mm-hmm. whatever. So, and I just feel like practice squad dealt with this a lot this season.
Yeah.
We had some pretty good people on our roster. We had, you know, Andy Pizak. Is that how you say his last name?
Yeah. Misty's.
Yeah.
Mr. Misty.
Yeah. And, you know, Mike Rodden and B-Rob and really, like, I didn't see them much at all this season. And
right.
A lot of times, like, Mike got sick a couple for, like, 2 weeks in a row. And then he couldn't show up yesterday because his, like, girlfriend told him he couldn't. So, like, just stuff like that.
That's how you really feel.
Yeah, just stuff like that. So, like, I just don't like it. Maybe it's because when I sign up for a team, I'm like, I'm in. I'll tell you, like, as I'm signing up for the team, I just know week six I won't be here. You know, like,
you do.
You gotta do
I'm
that.
I'm really big about that. So I'm also going with shirtless Chris, who's my favorite hugger in the league.
Was he wearing a shirt? Is that what it was?
Nope. Okay.
Do you remember the first thing you ever said about shirtless Chris?
Oh.
What is the first thing you ever said about shirtless Chris?
We'll talk about it after.
No, right now.
You were like,
I questioned his.
You were like, he's got a shirt off all the time. Doesn't he know that half the girls here wouldn't be interested in him?
I was like, I was pretty sure it was some kind of a sexuality question. Yeah, I know. I was like, yeah, half of our league is gay. This is great because it's going to lead right into what I was going to say. But
by the way, can people be shirtless now? Because
yeah, there was like three guys that were shirtless. Yeah. But I think that's because they didn't have the color jersey that they needed against that opponent. So they just went shirts or skins.
Tarps off.
Tarps off, boys. So
I was like, I was offended for Chris.
I know, right?
Stealing his gimmick.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's his thing.
Someone else called someone like shirtless blank, and I was like, no, that's younger, Chris Wolcott.
More muscly, tanner dudes.
Not gonna lie, Chris's
more defined six packs.
Yeah, I know.
Chris's girlfriend Alyssa's in my phone as shirtless Alyssa. Just so I know who she is.
That's fantastic.
I know.
But that's all right.
I love Chris, but he knows what he did against our team. He stopped himself, but he wanted to be a POS, and that's all. I looked right at him. I said, "Don't ever let me see you fucking do that shit again." And he went, "What?" And kind of smiled, but then he was like, all right, and walked off. So he owned it. I'm proud of him. Take accountability.
All right.
But biggest loser of the week. It's definitely people who use slurs. Everybody knows I'm pissed off about shit like that. I
couldn't even tell. I had no clue this entire podcast that bothered you.
Like, very funny, because we all know how last season ended with me basically coming to the defense of somebody who was getting called a homophobic slur over and over again by a grown-ass person who could be a grandfather. And then to have them kind of be somebody who says something.
I'm sorry. I wanted to ask. Isn't that when you spit on an old man?
I fucking wish. At this stage, honestly, if people aren't going to be held accountable for page one, paragraph one of the rule book, then shit's going to keep happening like this.
Yeah, but isn't that from 2024?
Very funny.
It's
labeled 2024, but it is current.
I know.
So, reply all. We've all hit reply all in that email.
I know, right? I saw it. I said, I'm hitting reply all for a reason. But we're getting sidetracked. I really do want to bring it home because I'm pissed about it. And truth be told, like, had it been somebody who was, I don't know, not a fucking amazing person too on top of it, you know what I mean? Like, you've got one of the nicest players in the league, one of the best players in the league, and she's being called, you know, the F word. I mean, and I'm just going to take it all the way back here. 25 years ago when I started in this league, there was like, I don't know, 10 of us drunks. And it was literally like all white people, you know. Mm-hmm. And then we break out and we start getting bigger. We branch out to Rose Garden and somebody invites one black person.
And then all of a sudden, we've got full, like, teams being assembled of completely diverse, like, we've got Puerto Ricans, we've got black people, we've got
now we've got,
you know, somebody brings one girl, she shows up lesbian, all right, then she brings,
well, it's a copycat league, and the second people realized, honestly, if you want to be good in this league,
you need
at least one lesbian.
And I always make this joke about myself, if I'm being honest, like, when we first started, like, when there was only a few teams and I'm the best girl in the league and I literally caught an interception and ran the wrong way, that was our fucking baseline. After adding
brutal.
I'm just being honest, okay? If I'm the best girl, imagine after we start adding all of this diversity and, like, what it's done to this league and the friends we have here, and we call it a family. And then, you know, this team ends up, you know, it's the Malones having a great year. We just had them on the podcast. They win, you know, they put up 70 points. You want them to celebrate. And then now it's, you know, we're talking about a piece of shit using a homophobic slur. And honestly, I was so mad I found out after the fact, because I would have 100% confronted her to her face.
That doesn't sound like you at all. 100%
I would have. And I'll give credit to Race, because I did reach out to him Saturday night and said, did this happen? And he owned it. And he said he brought it up to, like, their team chat, and that it was said, and he apologized for it, basically. But said, I, you know, I love you, homie. I hope there's no, you know. And I just said, this shit needs to stop. So, I don't know. Besides me screaming it on a field and screaming it into a podcast microphone, stop fucking using slurs. I don't like the word retard either. If everybody could stop fucking saying that. That's it. Like, it's 2026. Stop using racial slurs, homophobic slurs, ableist slurs. We're smarter than this. Anybody who uses slurs is fucking dumb. And you can't come up with a good, like, you know, say something like, oh, bleach blonde, bad built butch body. I'm not responsible for making, like, accountability comfortable here. So
did
just
you write down that note of what you just said?
No.
Blonde bitch body or something?
No, that's from Jasmine Crockett.
Oh, I didn't know that. I just saw you looking at your phone. I saw you look at your phone as you were saying it. I was like, did you write down something to say here?
No. That was a, remember when she, that's,
I know. That's,
I don't want to, I won't talk about that one, but
that's
my loser of the week. Big all right, time. Corey. Everybody knock it off.
I mean, my loser of the week's not far off. Come on, guys. Like, first of all, there's some situations where, you know, I understand wanting to yell at a ref. If you do it, you know, second time today. Mm-hmm. Do it with your team. Do it off to the side. Like, I mean, come on. People are out here. Like, half of them don't want a ref. They're reffing. They're not going to be perfect. And listen, am I perfect? No, you've seen me get angry at a ref before in a game. But, like, you know, like, just don't make it personal, man. That's all I gotta ask. I mean, we're all out here having fun. Like you said, we're a big family. And, like, shit sucks. You have bad days. But, you know, and that goes for both ways. Like, you know, obviously we need people to be better as refs. I genuinely think one of the reasons why we have the issue with less refs is because of how refs are treated a lot of the time during games. And again, I'm a person that you can say that I haven't always been the nicest to refs, and, like, it doesn't come out very often. Competitive games, playoff weekends, it comes out, but, like, all the time, like, you're gonna not want to have people ref games. So it's the chicken and the egg, right?
So, and we talk all the time too about the quality of refs. And we're seeing the same consistent refs every single week that aren't maybe of the quality that we would like them to be. And the people who are quality, the people who are running up and down the sidelines, the people who are in your huddle yelling the time to you, they're giving you 15 seconds in the huddle, 10 seconds in the huddle, 5, 4, 3. They're marking the spots. All of that are people who are like, you know, I don't want to get yelled at, and I don't need the $30, so I'm not going to do it. And so if you want, the perfect point, consistency in your refs and good ones.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't the NFL. And, like, I think one of the biggest things.
Well, I mean, it is kind of like the NFL.
Yeah. But, I mean, I think that was, like, kind of the one of the things that I don't know if you guys feel this way, but watching NFL games, I have a bigger, like, appreciation for refs. Like,
because
I'm sitting there like, oh, I understand why they may have not, like, seen that or missed it. Like, there's times you're like, oh, come on, they gotta call that, where it's obvious, and there's sometimes you're like, I get how they may have missed that now. Like, you know, and that's like five times faster than what we're looking at.
Do you ever hear the story about how I was in yoga and I've met like a couple people that we're all good friends with and we have a little yoga group, and the one guy is like really nice and he tells me he raps from so I tried to get him to join our league, and it turns out he's an NFL ref and he refs the Bills games. And I was like, oh, so like you don't need the 30 an hour? Then that's good to know.
I mean, he's probably
can you do it anyway? That'd be sick.
He's a lawyer on the side, probably. They all have second jobs.
Yeah.
Loser of the week. Mine aren't as fun as your guys because, you know, you just spent 10 minutes each on it. And mine's going to be, I don't like teams that forfeit in the playoffs, which is super lame. But you kind of touched on it where it was people who don't show up in the playoffs either. So I kind of don't have, I don't want to rehash it again, but it is the worst to play an entire season and then have your season derailed because somebody you're counting on couldn't be there. And it's like, it's one thing if they couldn't be there because of something, an emergency happened, or they got hurt, or whatever.
John Costa's 7 millionth injury.
Yeah, like, it's just his weak ankles, it's fine. But, like, but like it's another thing when people are like, oh, yeah, well, I made these plans this week to go here, but it's championship week. Well, I won't be there. I'm like, bitch, you knew all fucking season that we were going to have, this is championship week, and we're going to have two games. And you, like, the schedule's given to you in April, and you decide 2 weeks ago, oh, well, I want to go here. Wait a fucking week. Figure it out. Like, people do that shit all the time and just fuck over their team. And it's like, I hate that shit so much. So that makes
it's TMA in the fall because they always put together some, like, big trip where 4 to 6 of them are gone in October. And I was like, yeah, but we're talking this year about possibly moving it up because of everything going on with Bills. And
I get that people have things to do. And that's another thing. But that's the thing where, all right, cool. You know they're not going to be here because they're making the plans now. It's making 2 weeks ago, last week, being like, oh, I won't be there this for championship week if we make it.
Yeah, or half an hour before the game.
Right. Well, or if, like, you know you're going to be out. Like, I remember one year, like, my number one Bills game of all time I wanted to go to fell on championship week. Seattle. And I was like...
Wait, which one was that?
Seattle. I've always wanted to go to Seattle. So I was like, this only happens once every 8 years. I'll probably never see Josh Allen in Seattle again. I love you guys. You probably are going to win without me or with me. I'm not going to make a huge difference. So...
Fair. All right, final thoughts. Jeff Kroll did give me final thoughts as well. His final thought, if this is going to kind of tag along to what we've just been talking about. So, if you're yelling at refs every week, the problem is not the refs, it is you. I played with Mike Thomas, Brian Stevens, Quentin, Dean, Katie, et cetera, for years. Never once have one of them lost their mind at a ref, even once. If you're doing it every week, you should question if organized sports are for you. Also, sign up for the wine tournament. Those slushies are awesome.
My God, Jeff Kroll on a fucking roll. Can I switch my winner of the week?
I already gave it to him when he made you shut up.
I know. Oh, my God.
Gotta pay the Kroll toll.
So my final thoughts, and I'm actually talking to myself here too, are playoffs are here. Championship week means a heightened sense of competition. So I know that we start to get a little chippy with each other. You know, team against team as well. But we got to remember to call a spade a spade. You want to call somebody a fucking asshole, go right ahead. But again, no slurs, racial, homophobic, ableist, etc. But also the referees. So we don't want to chip at each other. We don't want to chip at the refs. But the big thing that I want to speak to is actually to the referees directly, that they have to keep control too. Like, the amount of times that I hear stuff about, like, where they're screaming at the refs and all of this stuff happened at the end of the game, it's literally you're in charge of that clock. Stop it. Shut everybody down. Grab a captain and take control of it, right? Like, this is what happened last year, I feel like. It got really crazy. Everybody's fighting at the end. Like, you as the ref need to, you know, watch what people are doing and stop them and tell them, you know what, this is a 15-yard unsportsmanlike. If it reaches that point,
throw
you know,
them plays,
give them a verbal warning, then go for the 15 points. Then after that, it's you're pulled out for a series, and then you can be pulled out for a half, or you can be ejected from the game.
Eject them right away.
Yep. So that's all I was gonna say. Basically, just everybody
stop being dicks.
Stop being dicks.
Corey,
easier said than done.
Everyone be dicks, all right?
All right, counterpoint. I like
So my final thought
debate.
Is, I mean, I think we're on this team together. It's been a really fun Breakfast Club year.
Yeah,
and, like,
sure.
I love the mesh of it all. There's, like, a certain level of camaraderie, even when the teams are bad, or, like, you had the one year where you guys were close, that you just gain. And I've made a lot of, like, some of my, like, best friends through Breakfast Club, and a lot of people that, you know, I've gone through. Yes, thank you. I definitely didn't know you before. But, I mean, like, I've made different connections. Like, you know, I played Breakfast Club with Bobby, and, you know, I practice with him all the time, and he's taught me a ton. And, you know, just getting to know Charles and our mm-hmm. team now has been a lot of fun. You know, just getting to go through and finally play with Missy. Like, I've always been around, like, the Skip Worse, but, you know, like, actually getting to play has been a lot of fun there. And just overall, like, just on top of that, like, part of it where it's just a blast. So join Breakfast Club whenever you can. It's genuinely, like, I love my team. I love Breakfast Club. It's, like, a different kind of love on each side of it. This has just been a fun year. Like, it's, I don't know how we, like, recapture this, like, evenness with the teams, but I mean, overall, it's just been, it feels like no one's ran away. I think it's fitting that, what, a 3 and a 4 seeds in the final for Breakfast Club this year. So, yeah, this is kind of a two-layered thing. Join Breakfast Club. It's fun. This year's been amazing, and if you didn't do it, you missed out. It's been a fucking blast.
Did they say they're possibly doing it in the fall this year?
So, I mean, I guess I'll say that Jeff said he wasn't going to do it because I was approached by, who was it? Alex Duckowitz and was it Langley?
JT?
JT Serato, yep. Yeah. They were like, Breakfast Club's great, but Jeff said he won't do it in the fall. I was like,
unless he can get 18 girls to
Well, Jeff didn't say that. I said, Jeff might get mad at me when he finds out, but I was like, if you guys can get 18 girls to sign up for this fucking thing, and pay or whatever, then fine. Like, if you can get people committed to it, he would do it. The problem is that Jeff has too much shit going on right now,
yeah.
The whole baby thing, and there's a wine term to figure out, plus he's got to figure out everything for the schedule, like you were talking about, maybe you got to move it up, what are they going to do, because everybody's going to go to that Vegas Bills game, can he change it, you know, well, whatever.
Tickets for that game is ridiculous.
Probably, it's fucking Las Vegas.
It's like $500 for the cheapest
tickets. I know, but everybody, if there's one thing I've learned about going to every away game that I've been going to, is, like, I have gotten tickets the morning of.
Oh, I can't do that. I'm too much of a planner.
I
can't do it. I'm too much of a planner.
I know it stresses people out.
Can't do it.
Then at least try to wait until a couple, like, 2 weeks beforehand. I'm telling you, I flew to Jacksonville for that wild card game and did not get a ticket until Sunday morning.
Yeah.
And I got, like, the best seat for $200 less than it was a couple weeks prior.
Yeah.
So, just saying, wait until the last minute.
Nah, I'm too much of a planner. I can't do it. No, can't do it.
Well, we just want to see a lot of people go there. Well, isn't that the one where a lot of people in the league are going?
Not if it's championship week.
I know you're right. Oh, my God.
So, that's where we're at. Not
I have
many,
to go.
But, right. So, needless to say, I told that. They were like, well, you know, what if we talk him into it? I go, you want to talk him into it? Get people committed, and he doesn't have time to call everybody. Like,
yeah.
Jeff does way more than he has to do when it comes to getting people doing Breakfast Club. Like, he's calling everybody, putting out feelers, doing this, doing X, Y, and Z, and it's a pain in the ass, and he doesn't have the time to do it this time around. He didn't have time to do it last fall either. That's why we didn't do it last fall. Because remember, Breakfast Club was originally every spring, and that was it. But more people want to do it. Usually you get to this point where we are right now, which is why they're saying, hey, can we still do it? This is super fun. And then other people are like, man, I wish I did that. And that's why we started doing it in the fall, because people saw how much fun people were having, and they wanted to do it the next session. I might have said if they get enough people committed, maybe he'll do it, because then the job isn't really, he doesn't have to do all the work. I called them co-Breakfast Club commissioners.
He should have his captains do the work on
Well,
it.
He... They used to in the past, but at the time he wasn't sure who was going to be captain, who was going to be in, who was going to be out. It was one of those things, too. And captains have definitely helped in the past, for sure. So I don't know what's going to become of that. I know that they already had a list of 8 people in 5 minutes, and I don't know.
We were all drunk at the
Toronto,
bar.
Toronto is kind
of... Yeah!
I'm not going to lie, though. Toronto is kind of filling in that, like, Ramirez role.
Yeah.
Where he's, like, he wears orange a lot, uh-huh. and he tends to, like...
Yeah,
talk
but he's
people,
a Knicks
bring people
fan,
together,
so...
I mean, there's
listen,
a reason I'm playing Friday night, just because
right.
of Toronto.
Yeah, exactly. Samesies, but that's what I picked. But anyway, jokes aside, like, he's kind of doing that whole thing where he's, like, bringing other people together. He, like, wants to run that. I think he legitimately might, like, it might happen. So, I don't know yet if you guys want to play Breakfast Club. reach out to your Breakfast Club commissioners. I don't know. I guess I could just name them that. Fuck it. And we'll see where we're at.
We just gave them a promotion.
Dirkowitz in Toronto?
Yeah, apparently. Yeah. And then the last thing, of course, for my final thought is it's always sad when it's the last week of the season. It sucks. If you don't have a game, come out anyway. We say this every year. It's like, you're not going to be playing. That sucks, I know. But at the same time, your friends are. And it's going to be the last time you can really, like, hang out with them for at least, you know, a month and a half. But
and who doesn't want to come out to heckle?
Like, I don't know.
Just bring some
yeah,
chairs.
Just heckle. Yeah, everybody be nice to each other, but show up and talk shit and infuriate people.
Oh, if you're not playing, though, I would show up to heckle.
The Tommy Hughes, Chris Cole.
Yeah.
Sit like the two Muppets.
Yeah.
Waldorf and Astoria.
Yeah, sorry.
But anyway, that's what I say all the time. If you guys don't have a game, still show up. Like, I only have a Breakfast Club game, but it's going to be awesome, so I'll be celebrating my championship the whole time. Don't really care. It's going to be a lot of fun. And then I'm going to watch some awesome fucking football games, because, you know, like, cool shit happened this week, cool shit's gonna happen next week, it's gonna be really fun. So you're not really, like, watching the games is gonna be very exciting, because it means more to everybody. Like I said, that's kind of why we do this. Like, this weekend is, like, all the fun leading up to this is fantastic, all the dumb shit we do, Lenny Reardon, all the fun stuff, but this last weekend is like the, okay, well, we still want, everybody's a competitive asshole, and, like, that's part of why you play, so mm-hmm. people are going to be going all out for it, and it's going to be pretty fun, hopefully.
Oh, yeah, so. I don't like it. I turn into a different player, a person in the playoffs. Like, yeah, fun. We got to win.
Yeah, you were a little intense Saturday. I was like, oh, my God.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. With that, guys, Doreen's already 15
minutes late
for her.
That's okay, it's okay.
No, you're fine. It'll be the perfect timing, but we got to go, so we'll see you guys for Championship Saturday. And remember, if you are listening to this and you win a championship and you want to come on, we'll figure out dates and times, but we'll make it happen. Okay, that's it. Bye. You guys do your bye.
Bye.
Oh, yeah, bye.
Dickheads.
Love you guys.
Sorry.
It's all right.